You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We got to create ways to talk about football. That's what I'm talking about, Sean. Evan out, he wants baseball nonstop all the time, even when there's no baseball to talk about. With him not in here, we're going to talk some football at some point this week, I promise you.
Yeah, we'll get the juices flowing with football at some point throughout the week. We do have baseball, though, here at the start as the not official first half, because we've already climbed the first half of the baseball season, but we've hit that mid-break point here as the Midsummer Classic awaits. Home Run Derby tonight, more on that in a little bit as Jazz Chisholm Jr. competes. All-Star Game tomorrow. But we ended the show on Friday, Teak, with the thought on who the weekend was bigger for. I was of the belief it was bigger for the Mets coming off of that doubleheader sweep to the Orioles, and the Mets go out there and they do their job. They get 2 out of 3. Yeah, it's right. A little unsatisfying losing that game. Manaea, you know, just getting his innings in, giving up the runs there at the end and losing the game on a walk-off. Okay, so be it. The Mets did their job. Phillies, by the way, had a real tough time with San Diego all weekend long. I don't think this was any sort of, in fact, it's a great weekend for the Mets to kind of wash the stench off of Baltimore. For the Yankees, it's disappointing because when they started Friday night, scoring all those runs, I'm like, man, this is going to be a monster weekend versus the Cubs. Will Warren gives you good enough effort. Team just, flat.
Team was flat. Here's the thing, though. Coming off of the Mets series, the one thing that you were terrified of as a Yankee fan or a Yankee observer was they could get swept in both of these series.
Yes.
Right? Seattle is really good. And then the Chicago Cubs, they're also really good. And so losing 5 out of 6 or 4 out of 6 would just be devastating. But you started those last two series with a sweep and a victory. So you won 4. You were automatically on top of the expectation by the time you got to the last two games of that Cubs series. Now, if you had stole one of them and it's gravy and you win both of those series, fantastic. But I actually think looking at the Mets, like post-mortem, what we thought could happen going into the All-Star break, taking 4 out of 2 in those two series combined, is actually the best thing that could have happened.
Yeah.
Like you when you look at it from a hole, you'd sign from it. It sucked that you lost the Cubs series, especially after scoring so many runs, but that was a bullpenning game. You kind of could have expected that against the Cubs in game one. So like when I look at what the Yankees did to finish the first half of the season, the proverbial first half, it was actually okay.
It was. And the Blue Jays struggling with the A's was a big help too, as you're 2 games out. So here's where we want to bring you at 888-808-1019. Me, Tiki, Tommy, chime in on this. We all have done what we do on WFAN, both talk show hosts and listeners alike. We have lived and died and overreacted, and then overreacted some more to each and every game this baseball season. Now let's take a breath. Look down on the first half of the baseball season, look ahead to the second half of the baseball season, and take the trade deadline and maybe what your expectations are all into account. I want to throw it all in that pot, bring out the grandma's wooden spoon, stir the paprika in there, and let's all be honest with each other. For each team, what is your biggest concern going forward? And by concern, I mean this season doesn't end the way you want it to, whatever your expectation may be, winning a World Series, making a World Series, winning the division, maybe you believe ultimately, I got to be honest, with my team, this is my downfall. Do you want me to start? You want to start? How do you want to go?
So for me, okay, and I'll start with the Yankees, the first thing that bothers me is starting pitching. And that may sound odd,
ooh, okay,
given Max Fried, obviously he's been fantastic, probably leader in the Cy Young in the American League right now, or one of them at least. Carlos Rodon, he's been pretty good. There's this belief that Luis Gil is going to come back and be that post-All-Star break trade deadline, non-acquisition, acquisition, right? It just feels like you're comfortable right now. And the reason I look at starting pitching is because I don't know what's bothering Max Fried. He also has pitched 122 innings already in the first half of this season.
He got that blister.
Right. So that's what I mean. I don't know what's going to happen with this blister. It could be nothing. There's plenty of ways and plenty of, I don't know, baseball tricks to get rid of blisters or tamp them down or make them manageable or whatever it may be. But I don't know what's going to happen with his blister. I also know that as much as we believe in Carlos Rodon to start this season, he's thrown 119 innings so far this season. And so both of those guys are injury prone. And so I look at what they have done and I look, it's perfect. But what happens if one of them falters? And I'm not worried about, you know, the lineup per se, because over the last 12 games, they've scored a ton of runs.
They have.
I mean, what did they go through? Nine? I mean, they lost some of those games, but they went through 9 or 10 straight games scoring five or more runs.
Yeah, they're scoring.
Right. We talked about the first game against the Cubs in that series. They scored 11 runs. Like, I'm not worried about the bats. I feel like they're going to step up when the time is needed. I'm worried about the pitching, most importantly, simply because I don't know and have faith that everything is going to be copacetic the way that it should line up. Max Fried could be great. Carlos Rodon could continue to be great. Luis Gil could come back and be just like he was when he won Rookie of the Year a year ago. Or all that could go to pot. And then it doesn't matter how many runs you score, you still lose.
I think I hate this open because now Tiki's making me more nervous for everything. Because I had ranked starting pitching at number 3 and had some of those thoughts. But now hearing you say them,
but it's
damn,
true,
you're right.
No, you just don't know.
You don't know. But if I had to cherry pick again, I'd put that at number 3. And I'm picking my one biggest concern.
Right.
I'm including the trade deadline in this because, call me silly, I have faith that Brian Cashman is going to add a third baseman. I don't think he's going to strike out there. And I do have faith that he's going to add a bullpen arm or two, which I think is their other biggest flaw.
Right.
If you're asking me my truthful biggest concern, I think we saw it again yesterday, and we saw it throughout the first half. My biggest concern is that the Yankees plug these holes at third base. All right, we're going to cook. Bullpen, we're going to cook. And in the end, it's going to be their faith and reliance on Anthony Volpe that does them in again. Dude, like, this is...
Volpe can be... You can gloss over him a little bit.
This is what... But I'm trying not to, because this idea is your biggest fear or concern.
Yes.
This team continues to make excuses for Anthony Volpe. You know me. We talked about this last week. I personally would not be shocked at the end of the year if we find out he was more injured than we thought from that injury in early May.
Right.
And that's what did
shoulder
him.
Injury, right?
Shoulder injury.
Right.
They run him out there virtually every day. He continues to not get better. Those throwing gaffes yesterday and just taking your time with one, rushing the other, it's problematic. I live with the fact if he's fielding great, and you know what? His bat wasn't what we thought, and he hits ninth. He's a mess on both sides.
Damn.
And I could just see the Yankees heavily investing, trading prospects, doing everything they can to fine-tune this team. And then there it comes in the wild card round or wherever, and there's Anthony Volpe throwing balls away that's leading the innings at all of this. I think the Yankees' reliance and trust that they are right and everybody's wrong in Anthony Volpe will be and remains my biggest concern for this team to get accomplished their ultimate goals.
Didn't we get a follow-up question to Cashman about the Volpe thing? I don't remember what the answer was, but it was kind of like a non-answer.
Yeah, he acknowledged that something was up, but still that they believe in him and everything.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I also know, just as I said last week, as we agreed to last week, Anthony Volpe's still going to go grind. And he's not one of those that's going to lose his confidence, because honestly, that's what it feels like.
Right.
Right, he has the one throwing mistake, and it's kind of like, all right, you're trying too hard. Then he has a second one; it's just late, and it's just like you're not trying at all. So I think he's actively correcting. I see him when he makes a mistake; he's actively trying to correct. You're never going to see a lack of effort from Anthony Volpe, and I give him credit for that because that's how you fix yourself. Right, it's just keep giving effort and effort and effort. And I refuse to believe unless he's hurt. Now, that might be the issue.
It could be.
Right? But because if he's hurt, then none of this matters. Everything I'm saying means nothing. Because if you're hurt and you're still trying harder, you're probably making things worse. Right? And so, but if he's not hurt, I think he'll eventually figure it out because he's a grinder. You know what I mean? Like, he grinds.
And, he does.
And I respect that, even though he's been frustrating as hell over the last 3 weeks.
Everybody has been in a workplace where they see somebody bust their ass and grind.
And they're still not good enough?
They're just not good at their job. And that might be the case. And I don't want that to be the case. I want to root for Anthony Volpe, but it's frustrating. Tommy, before we spin this all around and give our Mets worst concerns, positive Tommy, what is your Yankee big concern for the second half?
It's the Yankees offense. Now, hear me out.
What?
You're going to say, Tommy, the Yankees hit a lot of home runs.
I know.
The Yankees score a lot of runs. I believe those are in blowout games where they bully bad relief pitching. And when you get to the late, you know, September, October, and the pitching gets a hell of a lot better, you can't just muscle your way through those type of rotations. I think the lack of depth, I think the lack of grinders, gamers, ball players at the bottom of their order will ultimately lead to their undoing. And they're going to pitch Aaron Judge differently when you get to October. That's assuming he even hits in October, or King Aaron Judge, I should say.
Oh!
Put me down for a dollar. I think I'm up to $2 on that. So, yeah, to me, it's the Yankee offense.
Okay. All right, now let's go to the
Mets. I could see that. It happens every postseason.
Every October, no doubt about it. Right. I did laugh that he said there's not enough grinders at the bottom of the order after you just got done explaining why Anthony Volpe's a grinder.
I'm talking about Anthony Volpe as a fielder.
Okay.
I think he's clueless at the plate. As a fielder, I think he'll figure it out.
All right, that's fair enough. All right. Mets. We'll go around the room. Tiki, you went first with the Yankees, so go first with your Mets big concern.
For the Mets, this is the easiest one ever. Ever. And I don't know how anybody can see it anything other than this. It's hitting with runners in scoring position. You heard Carlos Mendoza talk about it 2 series ago. You saw it last night. You just, every single time, they look feckless with runners in scoring position.
Feckless.
And it's frustrating. Because it's like, all right, this is the moment. I mean, how many times have we said that? Whether it's Juan Soto or whoever, this is the moment. This is your opportunity. Bases are loaded, or runners on second and third, whatever it is. This is the moment. And then the same result happens. You get a weak grounder. You get a double play ball. You get a strikeout. Whenever those moments happen, they're not correcting, right? The law of averages isn't working in their favor to make these things happen when you needed them happen. So I can't do anything but just guess going forward, we're going to get the same kind of runners in scoring position inefficiency from this Mets team. That's what kills me.
I still have faith in the lineup. I was not going there with the lineup because, look, they have the Fab Four, right? They have the big three. And I actually let's be honest, Vientos bat is starting to come around a little bit here. And Mauricio, so all the thought about, the Mets need to add a third baseman, by proxy, one of these guys is going to be fine at third base. Obviously, I have my issues with catching. I keep coming back to this. I said it at the beginning of the year. I'm still going to say it now. This is collective, from the bullpen through the rotation. My biggest concern for the Mets is that we're going to go for year number two of not understanding to win a championship. Your pitching lab's a farce. Hear me out.
Why do you say
that? Okay, I think Senga's obviously a fine pitcher. He came back, pitched well.
He did.
I like Manaea. We've got to clearly see more than this. We can't just assume he is last year. Again, I'm not panicking about it. We talked about Holmes and the pitch counts and all of this. There still remains, and I love what David Peterson's done, by the way. That might be the ultimate ace for this team long term. There still comes a time in postseason series, and yes, the league has changed and gone more towards bullpen, where you're lining up in a postseason series and you want to have the pitching advantage. And I think last year versus the Dodgers had a million injuries, but the Dodgers didn't look at the Mets at all and think, oh man, the Mets have so much more of a pitching advantage than us. And I think ultimately for the Mets to accomplish their ultimate goals, if they're not going to acquire maybe a big starter here, which I don't think they will because they keep relying on this, I think their rotation is going to be the reason that they don't win a World Series or get to a World Series this year. I think they're going to hit the hell out of the ball. And whether that carries over to the bullpen where you just don't have enough bullpen arms, I think the pitching, we're just assuming because of this lab and everything that happened last year, I think the pitching remains a glaring issue. They don't have the guy as much as Peterson's an all-star and Senga probably would have been if he wasn't hurt.
Right.
And I don't know if Max Fried's going to be the guy for the Yankees in the Gerrit Cole part, and all we could do is compare the town. I have real difficulty looking at that Met pitching and thinking that's going to ultimately provide to be a strength to get through the entire postseason. Tommy?
For the audience, I am being forced to do this against my will.
I did.
Just like Jet was being forced against his will to say the Mets suck.
Yes. When I came into the office today, I said, Tommy, here's the open. I know you're positive, Tommy. You got to have something. Something.
For me, it is, I'll take what Sean said, but I'll say that it's more about the health of the starting rotation. When it comes to Senga, who is often injured, when it comes to Minaya, who's coming back.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, PSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
From an injury.
He looked good, though.
He looked good. So I think that if everybody stays healthy, they should be good. But if they lose a couple of starters like they did in the first half, you're already talking about a bullpen that's taxed from a first half of a lot of work. Now, they may add a few arms in the bullpen. I expect them to do that. But the last thing they need in the second half is more bullpen games or your starters not going six, seven innings because Senga's out, because Minaya's out, or if somebody else gets hurt. So I think the attrition, one would say, of guys getting injured in the rotation leading to the bullpen to have struggles would be the Mets' undoing.
Of course.
Call from the Nick guy.
Exactly. So all of you out there who are living in this, hey, we're at the All-Star break, life is good, or maybe life sucks for a Yankee or a Met fan. All the negative fans, the positive fans come together. One big concern. Unless it needs more concerns, because we all know the needs of these teams, right. But ultimately what will be the undoing. But as we prepare for the All-Star game, we must remember the American League manager is Aaron Boone. So obviously don't expect great fundamentals out of the All-Star team. But he has put a lineup out, and Tiki, I did laugh immediately at this lineup.
Go ahead, let's hear it.
The lineup that Aaron Boone has put together for tomorrow night's All-Star game, the leadoff hitter he has tasked, his second baseman, Gleyber Torres from the Detroit Tigers. Now I can go through
he's
the rest.
Got familiarity with that.
It's unbelievable.
Worked unbelievable. For him last year.
Unbelievable. So Riley Green will bat second. Judge will bat third. Cal Raleigh will bat fourth. Vlad Guerrero Jr. fifth. O'Hearn sixth. Caminero seventh. Baez eighth. Jacob Wilson ninth. By the way, not exactly an awe-inspiring bottom of the order for an All-Star game. I know those guys are all-Stars, had a good year, but not your father's All-Star game. Tarik Skubal will pitch. I see that and I laugh because as we think about the needs for the Yankees and what happened with Jazz Chisholm, if Gleyber Torres is the Yankees' second baseman this year and having the year he's having, maybe he wouldn't if he stayed.
Well, yeah.
I think we would have screamed and yelled less about Jazz playing third because we would have lived with it because they would have had a formidable answer at second. And also the
Yankees weren't worse at both positions.
Yeah. And the Yankees finally seem to figure this out here with Dominguez leading off, but that's not going to happen unless it's a platoon situation. And here it is right in the All-Star game, Aaron Boone writing in Gleyber Torres, who they never truly replaced at the leadoff.
That's great.
And not make it up.
By the way, I was mocked, I guess, for my idea of taking what is now the Fab Four and splitting them out throughout the lineup, Teak.
Yeah.
I've seen the National League lineup Dave Roberts put out, and we all agree Dave Roberts is a great manager.
It.
I don't have to give you the whole lineup. Francisco Lindor's batting eighth. So I win. If it's good enough for Dave Roberts, he batted Lindor eighth.
Well, who's leading off?
Shohei.
Of course.
And then Ronald Acuna, Marte, Freddie Freeman, Machado, Will Smith, Kyle Tucker, Lindor, PCA, and then obviously Skeens.
That's ridiculous.
Their lineup's better than the American
PCA before. Is batting ninth? Holy crap.
Yeah. Jacob Wilson. I don't know.
If this was a real game, the betting favorite is not even close.
Yeah.
It's on the National League.
But they never win the All-Star game, though. They've won, like two in the last 40 years?
Yeah. It ends up being some weird home run hit in the seventh inning. Right. And it changes everything.
Right. Off of the fourth All-Star pitcher, whatever it is.
Exactly. Skubal and Skeen. So that'll be tomorrow night from Atlanta at Truist Park. 888-808-1019. All right. Chris in Manhattan starts us off. Chris, what's up?
Hey, guys, the leadoff spot. I'm honored. Thank you, guys.
All right, Lindor, what do you got?
Yeah, okay.
No,
George, you're right. The irony is that we're watching. Not this time, eighth. That you would have, I guess, in this case, eighth. But I'll be one. The irony that we got Gleyber as New York fans, Gleyber, Baez, and PC.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, there we go. Anyway, but on the knees for the Mets, for me, it's 100% bullpen above anything. And look, as far as I'm concerned, the Mets need two high-leverage, bona fide relievers. I want Jansen. I want Finnegan. I'm less concerned about everything else for the reasons some of that you laid out. We know Holmes has got innings limits, some of the other. But, you know, you can't find a World Series-winning team that had a crummy bullpen. And it's always about the bullpen in the postseason.
Right.
And that's the thing that concerns me the most. And we're getting up every day. These guys are having Tommy John surgery. Like, we're eating breakfast in the morning. It's crazy. Every day you wake up and someone is getting hurt.
Yeah, Chris, the only thing I would argue with is that maybe the bullpen issues are being exacerbated right now because the starting pitching has been compromised.
I think that's true.
Right? You think about not even Manaea, but let's think of Kodai Senga. I mean, he struggled to get through, pitched four innings? Four and a third. I can't remember what it was now, but he struggled to get through it just because he's been gone.
Right. He's just
you look
back.
About Clay Holmes. We talked about Clay Holmes for the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks, how he's kind of capping now at five innings. And so when you have Manaea and Frankie Montas out, and then Kodai Senga's hurt, and he comes back and he's only pitching you four innings. Sean Manaea's not even available yet. Clay Holmes is crapping out at four, five innings. Like every starting pitcher, you need 12 outs.
Right.
It's just so. Of course, your bullpen's going to be taxed and overused and not reliable. Do they need help? Of course they do. But I think it's being exacerbated because the starting pitching's not getting deep.
Absolutely, and that means less bullpen arms. If that many more starting pitchers are going less all around to go around. And look, here's the thing: what sucks about the Met and Yankee needs with the bullpen is that every contender has those needs.
Exactly right.
So you need to make your determination, and that's why you're going to see some of these bullpen arms go for a price that you say, wait, they had to give up that.
Right. Is it worth it?
Is it worth it?
Is it worth it for the Mets to give up whatever prospect you had to give up for that guy who's probably a rental and you don't know, he's guaranteed that he's going to help you reach your goal, World Series, whatever it may be.
But if you don't do it and you think of the money you just spent and having at least the trio, let's call it the trio, of Alonso, Lindor, and Soto, how do you let a bullpen be your
undoing? Here's the thing. For the Mets, it's different because I feel like when I think about the Mets and their pursuit of a championship, it feels like we're at the beginning. This is the nascent stages of them being a championship viable team for the next 5 years, 6 years, whatever number you want to say. But when I look at the Yankees, I look at it more as towards the end. Right?
True.
Not that it's over after 2 years or 3 years, but I feel like that window is much shorter for the Yankees than it is for the Mets.
Because you're reacting to Judge's prime. And I think with the Mets, it's still Soto first and foremost, then with a touch of Lindor underneath.
Right, but Lindor is not old.
He's not.
I mean, he's
not.
Four more years at least playing at a high level. And so I feel like with the Mets, that overspending might not be worth it. For the Yankees, the overspending is definitely worth it.
It has to be, especially because you made the World Series last year. And especially because everybody assumed this American League was wide open. Now, as we've learned, it's not as wide open as we thought. And, oh, by the way, here come the Boston Red Sox, who I tried telling Evan about in April and May. Right. No, I'm nuts. And now here they are right in the thick of things. Bruce and Howell. Bruce, what's up?
Yeah, what's up? Sean, you're disappointing me over here.
Right.
What has been the common thing since the Baby Bombers came up? Cashman always figures out a way to get pitching, always figures out a way to get the bullpen, like last year with Weaver and Leiter. Hill. They have not hit in the playoffs since 2017. It's always about the hitting. Besides for those wild card hiccups with Severino not getting out of the first
you're right.
We agree with you.
However, last year they hit with Judge not hitting enough in that postseason. Also, I think the dynamics of the Yankee offense have changed little by little. Jazz Chisholm, Jason Dominguez.
Jazz Chisholm's a home run hitter. He's swinging for the fences. They like to bully bad pitching. Sean, tell me one player who you trust with second and third in the eighth inning at a tie game that will put the bat to ball. The only guy I trust is actually Cody Bellinger. Judge is swinging for it. Giancarlo, Wells, every single one of them.
I know. Well, first of all, I think you're being a little unfair to Austin Wells, who hasn't had a great year. But you saw him with that big at-bat versus the Mariners. He's a barrel-to-ball kind of contact guy. And look, from one side of the plate, when Jason Dominguez is hitting left-handed, I like him.
Yeah, but the challenge with what he's saying, so you need a stick, a reliable stick in your lineup, but that means getting rid of some of your big bats in your lineup as well.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, I guess... Who are you replacing?
Third base.
Yeah, if you find the third baseman.
I think that's where I was operating on. I think they're going to find a third baseman. I think that's going to complete the lineup. That's why I'm less concerned about it. I'm concerned about them, A, being the highest bidder for whatever the best bullpen arm they need.
Right.
And B, like some of that rotation stuff that you brought up as well. And ultimately, Anthony Volpe's defense.
Right.
So, here's the problem when doing this exercise. By saying one thing is your biggest concern doesn't mean I'm ignoring other flaws. You can only pick one thing. I'm asking you to pick one thing. If you're telling me I got five things that I'm going to be fixed, well, then you're probably not right for this conversation because it means you don't think they're going anywhere anyway.
Well, and the other thing is, so I think about, and also because CeCe's going into the Hall of Fame in 2 weeks, and, you know, I'll be there. I'm excited for him. He's a great dude, and he's a great Yankee champion.
Is that always 2 weeks?
2 weeks, the 26th.
Wow.
So I feel like, think back to that last championship for the Yankees and how many times your ace, CeCe, was pitching on short rest. Was taking the ball again. Give it to me, whatever you need. And you've seen that over the years the Dodgers have done that over the years. You've seen it, right? Mm-hmm. From these ultimate World Series champions. Do you believe that Carlos Rodon's taking the ball in short rest? Do you think that Max Fried is taking the ball in short rest? I don't.
Well, they might take it on short rest, but I won't trust them on short rest.
Will they be elite on short rest?
I do not. Not the way CeCe was.
And so to me, if you don't have another... not a leap, but just up there starting pitcher, you're putting yourself in danger, like real danger if you're the Yankees.
Maybe I have the blinders on, and I've had these Luis Gil blinders on, but I really am pumped up about Luis Gil coming back.
He hasn't pitched at all.
I know, but that's why I'm admitting I probably have the blinders on. The guy was the rookie of the year.
Right, there was an update that I got in my email today.
He threw 50 pitches, right?
Right, and he's commencing a rehab assignment in AA Somerset.
So they're going to build him up. And I think I read, that they want to get him touching, I think, 85, 90 pitches before they bring him up here. Right. So it's going to be a couple weeks. But, man, if Luis Gil doesn't have a lot of innings in him this year and his arm is as live as it was last year and you pitch in August, I'm sorry. For a guy who won the Rookie of the Year last year and was their number two pitcher all year behind Gerrit Cole, I'm sorry if I view that. If the Met fans allowed to look at all these other pitchers,
want you to be right.
I do too.
But
if I'm wrong, we're in even deeper trouble.
Exactly. Until I see that, I don't know. I can't trust it. It just is what it is. There's too much of an injury, worry with him. And now, look, is he fine? I hope so. And let's hope he gets through these rehab assignments in Somerset, which is right around the corner from all of us. And he looks great, and he can come up, as you said, in 2 or 3 weeks after the All-Star break. But if he's not, the Yankees have issues. And by the way, the timing, it's just weird. Like, the All-Star break is now. You have 2 weeks until you're at the trade deadline, but you won't know if Luis Gil is really ready for about 2, maybe 2.5 weeks.
Of course.
Like, it's bad timing.
Tiki, that's the Yankee special. He'll come, he'll make his first start right after that All-Star break, and we will hear that he was like another trade deadline acquisition.
Yes,
the comment, it's just like Volpe yesterday.
As long as it's true, I don't care. But yeah. Just don't give it to me and then him not perform.
Regardless, we know the real ace of this team is Cam Schlittler now anyway.
That's true.
Frank and Syosset. Frank, what's up?
I think it's Hal Steinbrenner. That's my biggest concern with the Yankees.
Frank, you're already my favorite call so far. Give it to me.
You're right.
Yeah, thank you. And I got criticized for it yesterday on another show saying that, Sean. They start saying, oh, they're the fourth highest payroll in the league, and why didn't they go after Bryce Harper, and why didn't they go after Luis Castillo, and they go down all the bad decisions that Cashman has made over the years, and they shouldn't have gotten Stanton. But in my opinion, I think Stanton is working. I think Cashman's working with one hand tied behind his back, because Hal came out in March and said, why do I need more than a $300 million budget?
Right.
And that makes no sense, because he was willing to give Soto $765 million. So he talks out of both sides of his mouth, and he's more concerned about the budget and the people he has to answer to and the luxury tax. And I don't think Cashman could work properly under those conditions.
I mean, we kind of heard Cashman saying that a little bit about the trade deadline conversation last week, talking about, I'm going to present all of this stuff and I'll take it up to Hal.
Right.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you.
No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The thing about the Steinbrenners is they'll look at everything.
Yeah,
they'll look at say yes to everything.
So he's basically absolving himself. Right? Yeah. We have plenty of packages that we've presented over the years, but I don't make the decision. It's not my money. I'm not spending someone else's money. Hal makes the decision. And so Hank might be right.
Yeah, but think about why. Okay, so if ultimately finances are going to come into play and Hal has to make calls, this is where I get on Cashman. Why would starting pitching be a need? Let's think about this really. All right, Gerrit Cole got hurt. They didn't expect that.
Yes. I think they actually did. To think they did.
And that's why they signed Max Fried?
Yes.
Okay. So then I would go back with this. They have a lot of money tied in Carlos Rodon, who's an all-star and who's had a great year.
Yes.
Let's be real. The reason we look at that rotation and think the Yankees need pitching, when you consider only 3-4 guys are going to pitch in the postseason, is you still really don't trust Carlos Rodon. Because, you know what?
Maybe.
Because when you think about the money spent, if you had Max Fried and another big starter, and then Rodon was making a little less money and being your third guy and Heel was your fourth, would we be saying this?
No.
No, not if Gerrit Cole was there. But if Rodon making his money was a real true number two, you can't tell me that a rotation led by Max Fried and a really awesome Carlos Rodon with the Rookie of the Year as your third starter is not good enough to get through a postseason. The reason the rotation's a need is because deep down, all of us drink the truth serum and don't trust Carlos Rodon and don't view him as a top-flying starter.
We just have to see him do it. And that's the problem when you become a Yankee. You can have any success or whatever failures before it, but it only matters what you've done in front of us. And so with Carlos Rodon, that's ultimately what it's going to come down to. Look, last year, I'm just looking at his stats. I mean, he wasn't horrendous, but he wasn't great either.
He had really great starts, and he had really crappy starts.
Yes, exactly.
And you never knew what he was going to get. He was the box of chocolates from Forrest Gump.
That's right.
Of which, I've come around to coconut recently, by the way. Was never a coconut guy. You a coconut guy, Tommy?
I'm not. It's a little BB for me. I'm not a big coconut guy.
What is BB?
Well, I can't say it on the air, dummy. That's why I did BB. It's basic.
Oh,
something.
Got
we
it.
Could have just went BB. You could have just glossed over it.
Yeah,
you're not
okay,
that.
That's fine. I'm assuming it's something bad.
It's a common phrase. People say BB. I didn't really want to get into the particulars or details of what BB stands for. That's why I just said BB. I would have just said basic, whatever.
I just don't like not knowing food lingo. That's all.
That's not food lingo.
Sometimes.
I've gotten more into it now. The shredded coconut.
I'm sometimes the coconut guy. It's weird because at times I hate it, and other times I'm like, this is actually pretty good.
When I was younger, the texture used to make me feel like I was eating like a piece of carpet. Now, for some reason, I like it. My taste buds have adapted. All right, John and Maspeth. John, what's up?
Yeah, what's up, guys? Yeah, so the Yankees needs, right? Listen, one word, bullpen, 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 bullpen. This circle of trust, I feel like this is the worst, not the worst, but, you know, I feel like this is the weakest the bullpen's been in quite a few years.
Yeah, it has been.
And
although it does seem like Weaver's coming back a little bit.
Right, the ultimate two feel like they're going to be fine.
They do. And Tim Hill's been tremendous.
Hill's been fine.
Hamilton was good until the home run.
Right. He was fine until he gave up the home run.
It's Loaisiga, who I have no confidence in.
Right. Loaisiga, he's got a home run issue right now.
Yeah.
He's got to just learn how to stop giving up home runs. Everything else is okay. And then Fernando Cruz, who's on the IL.
Which was a killer.
It's a killer. So if he comes back healthy, again, it's kind of like the Luis Gil thing. You don't feel fully secured. But you feel okay if he's healthy, if Heel is healthy.
I had somebody ask me this over the weekend, and it was something I didn't even consider last week when we did all the Cam Schlittler stuff. He starts a couple starts, right? Mm-hmm. We have him humming along here. Yankees, maybe they do add a rotation arm, but not a big one, let's just say. And Heel comes back, and they still have Will Ward is throwing all these innings. And you look up, and there's really just not a fifth spot. They can't hold on to Stroman. There's not a fifth spot in the rotation this year to finish the year out with Schlittler. When you're throwing 100 miles an hour in gas, is that somebody in September that you go, you know what, kid, you're going to be a starter for us next year?
Yep. And by the way, he is at that age where he just wants to be on the team.
Yeah, I agree.
He wants to contribute. And I don't know if he's ever done bullpen work, but it almost doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, I would say this. For any starter that's never done bullpen work, take note, Marcus Stroman. When it comes time to the playoffs, it's not a five-man rotation.
Right.
So anybody should be adaptable. And to me, I would look at it as if I had really great starter stuff, or good enough to be in the league, and I was the team's fourth or fifth starter, and it was evident I was not going to start postseason games. I'd rather know that my stuff is trusted upon to get high leverage outs than just be the long reliever if the starter bombs.
Yeah, and also, you don't need three or four pitches to work on.
Right.
You got two.
You got two good ones. One, you already know what it is. It's 100 mile an hour plus fastball.
Imagine that. Right, imagine exactly. Playing a playoff game where Cam Schlittler comes out in the seventh inning throwing 100 something miles an hour. You have Tim Hill waiting there for the lefties, right. And then it's Weaver and it's Williams.
Right.
Now you're talking about a game that's, you know, 5-6 innings.
So the challenge with Schlittler right now is just figuring out, is he for real? So he's got to get another start. Probably two more starts before we can really understand.
But we know his velocity's for real.
Velocity for sure, but pitching is not just velocity.
Totally.
Especially, you know, when you're dominant with 100 mile an hour, everything else is good, but not is elite. It's not like he has a ghost fork in there as well, like Kodai Senga. So, like, you need another couple of outings to see how good he actually is.
Keep that in the back pocket. So when Evan comes back,
that's exactly what he is. He's a back pocket guy.
Don't let Evan on August 10th go, you know what I think the Yankees should do with Cam Schlittler? Let's remind him that he was in Italy when we came up with it first. Jody in Warren, New Jersey. Jody, what's up?
Jody, what's up?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing? Oh, sorry, didn't mean to ask that. I know I'm not
so good.
I'll assume you're doing good. Kiki, wife's the biggest fan of you ever.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say, as a big Mets fan, Sean, first of all, I really think you treat the Mets fans pretty evenly because you're not a total hater. I just want to say that I'm a big listener.
He trolls a little bit. He does troll a little bit, but he's not a big hater.
There's a difference between troll and hate.
Well, because Evan asked for it, so you have to.
But that's
good point. The thing that's most frustrating to me as a Mets fan is watching consistently this year guys on base and Juan Soto just failing.
Yeah.
That's number one. And if you will, please give me this, Tiki, because it's hard to get through all the time. I've been meaning to ask you, what one defensive player, of course, after each game you played, it hurt, you know, obviously getting beat. But what one defensive player, you know, you're going into the game and you go, man, I'm going to really be banged up after this game.
It was easy, Jody, because there's two of them, but one I never really played. Ray Lewis, obviously, because he's just a monster. He's fast as I was, but he was 240 pounds. But I only played him a couple of times. We played in the preseason, game didn't matter, and then obviously in the Super Bowl. So I hated playing against Ray. But the most consistent one was Jeremiah Trotter. Because Trotter is heavy. He still is. His son is built just like him, Junior, who now plays for the Eagles as well. He was heavy. And I knew that I was contacting him at least 25 times a game, tackling him or blocking him. I hated playing the Eagles. Hated it.
Man,
because
of
Jeremiah Trotter.
When you put it that way, it is like running into a wall 25 times a game.
He's 250, dude. I mean, and I was bigger than I was 210 or 205, whatever I played at. But it just, he's heavy.
Is that how much you played at, 210?
I'd go to camp at 215, and so I played at about 208.
That feels so light for today's NFL.
Oh, of course it is.
That's crazy to think
about.
Dude,
when I go to the games.
I knew you were small.
When I go to games and I'm around the guys, even when I go to Giants practice and I'm hanging out, you know, with the guys, I'm like, how the hell did I do this?
Right, like, how much does a Tyrone Tracy weigh now?
He's bigger than you think.
I know, we saw him in person, and now I'm thinking about it.
He probably weighs 215 or
okay.
so. Okay. He's a big kid.
But he does look bigger.
And he's thick. Like, I wasn't thick.
Right.
Just,
it's wild.
So it's just, I don't know. I don't know how I did it for 10 years.
I don't know either. But thank you for doing it. I'm a fat moron.
Exactly.
Stuart in Brooklyn. Stuart, what's up?
Hey, Stuart.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
All's good.
What's up, Stuart?
Hey, listen. Hal doesn't want to go above and beyond. Hal does not want to get the extra play to put the team over the hump. You agree?
Well, I think Hal doesn't want to unnecessarily spend money if it's not going to work. It's like, in some ways, I feel for him because I think if it was a guarantee, and it's never a guarantee, but if it was a guarantee, this guy is changing, you know, whatever ails you, and it cost, and it was going to put you in the CBT, or at least the next tier of the CBT, and it's going to suck, and the penalty is going to be horrific, but it's guaranteeing you're winning, he'd do it. But there's no way to do that. So he's been doing it for so long. He's been in the penalty for so long. It just gets really hard to say, all right, let's try this guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like it's guaranteed. Juan Soto, he was a guarantee. So you're going to spend that money. It's going to cost you, obviously, with the CBT. Fine. It's good as guaranteed. But to just go try somebody else that might not actually work out, it's hard to justify it.
I think people get angry at Hal Steinbrenner for the wrong reason. When Hal Steinbrenner says, I don't think we need a $300 million payroll, insert whatever the number is right there to compete for a World Series. If we really just like stop being angry for a second, he's right.
Of course
if
he's
a
right.
team is built properly and developed properly, you don't. And he's not saying that means scale it back and spend what the Rays are spending. Yes. It just means to go push the envelope like the Dodgers did. I totally get what he means. But here's the issue. The general manager you refuse to even consider relieving of his duties hands out crazy contracts to guys that are not givens, like Carlos Rodon, or, you know, and look, we all wanted the LeMahieu deal signed. It didn't age well. Or, you know, took on the Stanton deal, even though that was probably the wrong, as much as it's worked out in the postseason, he's missed so many games in the regular season, it's hurt your financial flexibility. Brian Cashman, if that's the operation Hal wants to run, has not been the right general manager for that operation.
Right.
So if Hal's going to feel that way.
That makes sense when you put it that way.
Exactly. So if Hal, I don't.
Because he's not giving contracts. He's just acquiring contracts.
Exactly.
Right.
So if you feel that way, like Hal, I'm not going to blame you for feeling that way as the owner, but then you have the wrong GM dude who clearly is not spending wisely and then making us in this weird spot. We have, you know, six really rich contracts and then scrapping and everything else, and that's how you end up opening the season with Oswaldo Cabrera as your third baseman.
Right.
That's exactly what goes.
Who's hurt now and put you in a bigger void than you already were.
Exactly. 888-808-1019. Jake in New Jersey. Jake, what's up?
Hey, how's it going? So I've watched almost every Mets game this year, and there's like two blaring combination issues for me. And it's the bottom of the order and some of the I don't know, maybe like D-list bullpen guys.
Right.
Because the top of the order is sort of struggling with runners in scoring position. That happens, and they're too inherently good.
It's been all year, though. It's been all year, Jake. That's the problem.
The runners,
it's all season long.
It smells a lot like the Yankees too, right?
Yeah, but the Yankees will go games where they'll bludgeon you.
But that's how they've lost their postseason games, getting guys what I mean. Like the end all be all. You see signs of that. I understand that's been a big Met issue all year long. I also think it's kind of a false issue in the sense that think about where we were earlier in the year was when Soto really wasn't coming through. That would have been big with runners in scoring position.
But their pitching was so dominant.
Exactly.
They got away with it.
By the time Soto started coming through, now we've looked at the bottom of the order when those top guys are getting on and had our issues there. And Vientos hasn't been great at times this year. And then finally, you know, we had some clutch hits from McNeil, but he wasn't the same player early. I feel like the Mets have had really bad timing, and this is baseball, on their hot streaks within players, and that has led to this skewed, really bad runners in scoring position number.
Yeah,
I know that might sound senseless to people, but I promise you I mean it in that way, in that when those guys are going well, I mean, how much better are those numbers if Juan Soto's true Juan Soto in all those spots? They are, right? Or Vientos that had a bigger year. So it's easy to look at that blank Excel spreadsheet and look at the runners in scoring position, but think about the timing of the cold streaks that these teams have gone on. All right, we'll continue to take your calls on the issues between the Yankees and the Mets as we head to the second half of the season. Plus, if you're sitting down to watch Jazz Chisholm Jr. in the Home Run Derby tonight, what the hell are the rules now? Why have they overcomplicated it? And will you be settled in?
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.